and Gunashtish for being here with us today on Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. The name of the canoe is Yadachun. In Thlinkit, that word means straight ahead or going forward. For Robert Mills, it has been a journey to design this traditional canoe and to have it fashioned out of aluminum. And he's here with us now to talk about that. And we are so excited. It's soon going to be installed on the waterfront. And so I just have to ask you, Robert, do you just feel on pins and needles, almost like you were waiting for your baby in the delivery room to come?
I don't think I would take it that far. There's definitely some excitement because, you know, this has almost been a year in the making. Just shy of, shy of a year. So, you know, it's definitely been a journey. And now that we're on the fringe of it, I'm excited to share it and help it find its home.
Well, as a matter of fact, speaking of babies, your son, we can hear him in the backdrop. So you've kind of had two processes going on at the same time, fatherhood and then this big artistic venture.
Yeah, definitely a lot happening, a lot to juggle, a lot of moving parts. And I'm learning as I grow that I have little to no control over those moving parts. And slowly learning to just enjoy the process of it all.
I can hear him. So we'll enjoy having him on our show as well. What's your son's name?
His name is Kunisi.
Kunisi. And when was he born?
He was born in February of this year.
Wow. So how far did the canoe project precede him?
We finished just before he was born, fortunately.
So this canoe is going to be something that we will all appreciate, like the whale sculpture that's already out there. It's one more thing to see on the Overstreet Park walkway, seawalk there. How do you feel about it going in that particular spot?
I've grown to love it, actually, having spent enough time out there walking. You know, it wasn't my initial pick, but I've grown to love it. And as I've found out what Juno Parks and Rec is planning to do with the area, it's kind of perfect. And it's kind of nice that it sits beside the whale as well. So
for people who haven't seen it, we sort of got our first real glimpse of it as the backdrop for the Indigenous Music Festival, Rock Auk. It was broadcast all over the world for people to see. And people just thought it was amazing watching it. You know, and I wondered at that moment when it was displayed there if that was going to be its mission to move around to different places. But it seems like it's going to be permanently anchored in this spot.
Yeah, I think it's kind of symbolic of where we are at in this particular point, in that, you know, to galvanize us as Indigenous peoples, we now have to use Western constructs. So I think it's symbolic that with this canoe sculpture, we are using aluminum to kind of plant us here forever. That thing will be here for, you know, long, long after I'm gone.
Well, when we read our land acknowledgments on KTOO, now we always talk about the waterfront and how once there were canoes and people traveling from villages going out to hunt and fish. It seems like that canoe should be there to remind us that the parking lots and all the things that have gone up since then were really not part of the original landscape. What do you see when you're walking out on that seawalk?
I think that you know, this CBJ has done a good job as trying to make that specific area as natural or organic as possible in this waterfront that's, you know, that's saturated with non-organic places. It's kind of nice to walk out there. And to me, the makeup is, you know, it's a vignette of home, beaches of home. So I think it's pretty fitting.
So this project is going to have several phases, and I understand that the installment is the first phase. So has the weather caused some challenges? Because I know they had hoped to have it installed by yesterday, but apparently the weather has slowed that down.
Yeah, it has. My dad used to say sometimes you just have to let the tide come in. What can you do? And hopefully the weather will cooperate. As far as I know, they're moving forward with it. So hopefully early next week it will be put in place.
So tell us a little bit about the dimensions of this and how much it weighs for those of us who may not have seen a picture of it or seen it at the Rock Ock Festival.
It's 20 feet, 10 inches long from point to point. And then the highest point, which is the bow, is 91 inches high. I believe the lowest point of the gunwale is 41 inches. And then the width of the bottom of the paddles, which would be the widest point, is approximately six feet. And it probably weighs 250 pounds or so.
And so where did this idea germinate for this? I know that you had apparently gotten a grant that was for COVID relief, and so it turned into sort of this labor of love, but the COVID relief money made a project like this possible. So had the idea come before the grant money came, or did you just sort of, once you got the grant, you started thinking about it?
I'm always thinking. You know, I'm always dreaming. I operate best when my head's in the clouds, I always say. So it's been one of those things that have kind of been drifting about, and on this crazy art journey, I've learned never to put limitations on anything. And if I really believe in something and take action, then, you know, I believe those ideas come to fruition. My career is testament to that thus far. So it's been ruminating around, and then, opportunity came, and due to the time constraints, the deadline that they wanted the piece done, you know, to make something in wood monumental scale just was not possible. So it just kind of worked out that this canoe sculpture came to be.
Well, it certainly is beautiful. And it's kind of interesting in that it's sort of the skeleton of the canoe, the outline of the canoe, and your imagination has to fill in the rest. Is that what you were going for?
Oh yeah, definitely. So the gunwales, you know, there are characteristics of a Northwest Coast canoe that are just aesthetically beautiful. And so, you know, it was a process that I had to find out which aesthetics I was going to embellish a little bit and enhance without losing the essence. And as far as the negative void that is in place where the body of the canoe would be, that void kind of symbolizes the the political and social unrest that we've been treading through, you know, during this past, since before COVID, I guess. So definitely enhanced by COVID. So it kind of is, the negative space is symbolic of that period of time here in the United States.
Well, as they say, sometimes less is more. You know, that very beautiful minimalistic design in that. So you had to translate this idea into an aluminum structure. So you actually had to get some help fabricating that. What happens with that? What's that process all about?
It can be an incredibly delicate process to collaborate with somebody. You're dealing with some like intimate creative spaces with individuals and to try to navigate that without ego, just these some of these characteristics of humanity can be tricky. And fortunately, I was able to find somebody that absolutely fit that. And, it's almost like we were destined to cross paths with one another. And, Brian Crapo, the fabricator, I'm happy to say that I didn't just find somebody to collaborate with, but at the end, I found a friend as well. So,
well, that makes it even better. So when this gets installed and it's happening in phases, can we walk out to it? Will there be a path to it? Will it be lit? How will we see it presented?
Yeah, so it'll be parallel to the existing path that exists. It'll be on the beach side of the walkway. I believe they're planning on removing the fencing. So you'll be able to walk to it and access it. And it'll be illuminated. I was quite adamant about making sure it's going to be lit as, we're entering some pretty dark months ahead. So I think it's an opportune time to bring some illumination to the piece, but as well as to our lives as well.
There are so many deep thoughts behind this, illuminating our lives, the navigation aspect of a canoe. Why did you choose the name Yadachun, which I guess translates into going forward? What were you hoping to tell people?
There are many nuances to the canoe. One that I'll add is, it's accessible to walk around because I wanted it, the height of it is thought out to where if people are on the opposite side of the canoe, and those people are going to be of all different races, ages, sexes, and from the opposing side, it's going to look as if that person is in the canoe as well. And vice versa. But as far as the name goes, Yadachun means straight ahead, and it's kind of poking fun at humanity because we never go straight ahead. We're always vacillating in one direction or the other, especially during this divisive time. So it's kind of kind of humorous, but also, I think if we zoom out and take a greater scope of things, we realize that the left, you know, going to the left or right, ultimately we are moving straight ahead. So, you know, I think it's kind of humorous, but as well as a greater context of time, you know, the hope is we're all in this together and we're trying to move ahead.
Well, those are great sentiments, you know, to know that all of those things are wrapped up into this project, which is still on a journey. I guess the fundraising continues for this. I see that the Juno Arts and Humanities Council has a GoFundMe page for this. How much more needs to be raised to complete this project?
I can't say for certainty a number. I don't really deal with the specifics of numbers necessarily. You know, it's like anything else. It's how many bells and whistles do we want to add to it? Obviously, if you want more, it's going to cost more. I just believe that once we get it in place and people see it, you know, you've seen it from afar and really appreciate it. And I think once you get to see it in person and it's there, and it's there, it's in this air quotes natural environment, you know, I think it's going to, people are going to say absolutely and push it even further. So,
well, we've heard your little baby in the background there. Do you look forward to taking him when he's old enough to walk to see your canoe, and how do you envision him interacting with it and other children?
Well, that's a great question. I did kind of design it to where, you know, so much of the way we operate in this world is through the lens of our phones. And so there are definitely spaces that exist in that canoe sculpture where it's interactive in that way. But also, you know, I can only hope that we, as Indigenous peoples, as Indigenous artists, you know, where we are constantly growing. We're not this group of people from the past. We're not encased in this glass lens. We are operating in this world and using Western constructs, Western ideas, you know, because we're all immersed in this world now, and we're using it to bring dialogue to certain issues, certain ideas, certain thoughts. And I can only hope that, you know, as a young person, much like I seen Tlingit art pieces growing up, I was just inspired by masters of the past and seeing something and just saying, wow, I want to do that. And if I can only do that for the younger generation, then I've done my job.
Well, you certainly have. And thank you for giving us something to look about, appreciate. You know, it seems like it's a perfect bookend to the whale out there. So I can't wait to see it, especially at night when it's all lit up. I'm sure that it's going to touch many hearts and inspire many people. So thank you very much, Robert Mills. And also thank your son for his patience in letting you have some of our time today. Gunashish.
Gunashish. Thank you very much.